to the Lately in PHP podcast hangout. I don't know. I think I should rename this to
right
hangout because podcast seems so old.
Yeah.
This is episode 36. We've been already through 3 years of hangouts and podcasts. And as always, I have here with me Hernani Jopert. Hernani, how are you doing?
Hello, folks. I'm doing great. Hello, Manuel. Glad to be here as usual.
Sometimes somebody has to fill in for you, but
okay,
it's as usual.
But when I'm here, I'm very glad to be.
Okay, that's great. Well, today we are having a sort of a late hangout. I've been busy by the end of the last month, so I was not able to record. But finally, we are recording this hangout. And as always, we have several interesting topics to talk about. I'm going to start by the usual batch of topics, things that have been happening in the PHP world. Let me pick the right window to screen share. Okay. Can you see this correctly, Hernani?
Oh, yes. I had myself on mute here. Yes, if you can just increase the font a little.
Yeah. Okay, I have to increase the font in the correct window. Because I increased the font on the Hangout window, and that's why. Okay, I think now it's much more visible. And, we had the regular updates on PHP. There were actually two updates for PHP 5.4 and 5.3, and if you go here to the change logs page, you can see this has been mostly a release with some bug fixes. I personally, I did not find anything worth noticing with more attention than usual. Anyway, there were a couple of PHP 5.4 releases, as well PHP 5.3, and nothing special to comment about this. But it's always worth for people to pay attention to see if there are any outstanding bugs that were fixed that affect their applications. And other than that, I'm going also to move on to other topics, namely talking now about PHP 5.5 that started its own release candidates, so it's no longer in beta. I have not noticed anything that I could mention about these release candidate versions. They are just iterations on features on the PHP 5.4 features that will be available, and they are being tested and to see if they pass as much as possible the tests, so the final version is not so buggy. There are actually three release candidate versions already in the latest weeks. I think the release of PHP 5.5 is imminent. So whoever is anxious about PHP 5.5 may be very eager to see this release out and should pay attention to the next days. Probably by the time this hangout is published, the PHP 5.5 is already released. Well, we'll see. Hernani, are you eager to see the PHP 5.5 release out?
I don't use PHP 5. I don't have any practical need to have this updated. But it's nice to see that PHP is growing. Their release tags, it means that some frameworks or there are particularities that may require users to update it.
Yeah. Well, me neither, and I think we sort of fit in the vast majority of the people that will wait for the official final version to come out to even consider testing. Even those that really want to use it, they will probably wait for it to be released, the final version.
And, right.
And they will not even bother with any beta or release candidate releases, but well, it's always useful, at least for the core developers that are concerned with any bugs, that if you can help testing these releases and eventually find any outstanding bugs, you report them before the final version is out. There is always this appeal for people to collaborate, but what happens in practice, as we have always seen, is that everybody tends to wait for the final version, and then there is a great amount of bugs being reported because people finally start testing it for real. And okay, that's okay. Meanwhile, there is already people trying to propose new features for future PHP releases, because obviously the PHP 5.5 version features list is closed. And I found an interesting proposal for an eventual PHP 5.6 release. This one here that I'm showing is from Remy Kolev, and is from the email address. It seems to be from the Fedora project. Anyway, the actual proposal is basically a patch to the JSON encoding and decoding functions. Basically, the idea is to implement an incremental parser that will parse the JSON structures,
yes,
step by step in small chunks. I think this is to not exceed the PHP memory limits.
Right, and another thing here which I see is that it has a benefit of converting integers as integers, never float or string, so are always parsing an integer as integers. And allowing also comments in JSON or a string file.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I actually did not notice that. And anyway, I think this is interesting, but what is odd is that the guy sent this proposal to the internal mailing list, and apparently nobody replies. It seems either I have missed the follow-up discussion in a different thread, or it seemed he did not raise any interest. Well, this is a bit odd, but
yeah.
Well, the fact is that he did not submit a RFC proposal, and probably when he does that, people will really actually start discussing it. And well, this is another odd attitude of core developers, I think, because sometimes they bother to argue not so relevant topics a lot in the mailing list, but in this case they did not follow up with any discussion. Maybe
right.
Maybe I'm missing something here. Well, anyway, now moving on to another topic. I'm trying to find the correct page here. This time it's a proposal by Nikita Popov, a regular core contributor. He proposed an improvement for PHP, which would consist in overloading the arithmetic operators for values that contain arbitrary precision math, which is basically a representation for numbers that can have an unlimited number of decimal digits, And usually you use extensions of PHP. Can be either BCMath or GMP. And this proposal, it's basically to let you write instead of code like this that is hardly readable. This is basically how to implement an expression that consists of multiplications and additions, and that is also the mod operator here. And instead of doing representing it this way, it could be represented this way, like in regular integers and doubles that you use to express when you want to define a more complicated operation. And I was looking here, and it seems very interesting that this proposal comes because operator overloading seems to be more common on other languages. Hernani, I think in Java, do you have operator overloading for arithmetic operations that involve different types of numbers represented with different classes?
Yes, I haven't used it myself. The projects that I've been involved with, the most complex one involved big decimal adoption. But sure, I believe that in Java there are libraries to perform that. Mostly what I've been using is big decimal, and I haven't reached the need of having operator overloading, but I'm sure that there is.
Well, what something. I mean is that, for instance, if you want to multiply two numbers that are in a big decimal object, do you use the asterisk as multiplication, or do you have to call a method to do the actual multiplication?
As far as I do recall, you have to, if you have two objects, since you are using objects, you have to call some method inside of the object. It's not just a simple...
Oh, I see. Oh, so I think it's C++ that provides a more extensive operator overloading.
Right.
Because the code ends up becoming more readable than if you have to do the actual method calling to perform these operations. And it is interesting that this is being proposed for PHP, while from what you are telling me, Java does not have support for overloading. But I think, for instance, one thing that I wonder if you can clarify. For instance, when you have two integer objects, not integer native values in Java, if you want to multiply them, do you use the asterisk or do you have to call some method?
Oh, integers, if you're talking integers, you have to work with the objects. And you can pass two int values, which are primitives, and they will wrap it up. But the methods require you to pass either ints or integers. So it may have overloading methods, but not an operator overloading.
No, I mean, for instance, if you want to let me show you the expression here.
Imagine in the situation that I have two int values. Because when you're coding, you're passing an integer, and it's a dynamic value. Somebody sets the value before.
Yeah.
So then you can't multiply. You just have to wrap it into primitives if you want to do it in code, or sometimes you have to multiply it by a specific method.
Yeah, for instance, here they this is how it is done currently in PHP. So if you want to multiply this value by the rest of the expression, you have this code here,
right,
that does the multiplication. So if these values are integers, you can just do this way, but
right, that's not possible in Java. I mean, if you have two. Out of the blue, my computer just mutes myself. So yes, when you have two equal objects, you have to call a operation. You can sum, you can multiply, you can divide. But in the case of a code itself, like if you're stating 10 times 10, then they are considered int value. But if you want to perform operations with an integer, you have to wrap it in int values before you can multiply.
Oh, it's really bureaucratic programming. Okay, I'm not surprised.
I don't have it fresh on my mind, but I'm almost sure that you can't. Yeah. If you have integers, you may be able to do that, but I don't recall it. It's not fresh in my mind right now.
Right. I know Java tends to be bureaucratic, but for simple operations, I suspect that it's not that bad.
It's not the worst case scenario.
No, there are worse things in the Java world.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, moving on with the next topic, which is probably related with the languages. Last month, Google announced their finally, after many years of people begging for them to support PHP in their cloud hosting platform app engine, they finally added support to PHP. And personally, I did not expect this from them anymore, because it has been 5 years, and since they launched this platform and the app engine, and the top number one feature request that they had in their feature tracking, bug tracking system, was to support PHP, and they finally did it. And this was one of the surprises, and they announced it in the Google I/O, and it was very interesting. Not just because they started supporting PHP, but because they justified it, saying that PHP has 75% of the market of websites. I mean, they are saying that PHP is 75% of the websites that they crawl. I think they mean the public websites, because they can't crawl sites that are in intranets, that are behind firewalls. So this is interesting. It's quite a revelation, because we PHP developers were really not aware of how far PHP was leading or lagging, because for the last years I have been reading lots of people saying that PHP is dying and all this and that, and what we can see from this revelation from Google is that it's quite the opposite. PHP is more alive than ever. Hernani, did you follow up this announcement? What were your impressions about this?
Oh, yes, I was really happy. It was a discussion we've had back in the past, that we wanted to see PHP and App Engine. But I haven't had the time yet to check it out, the details. But it's for sure a huge milestone for Google. And I bet that the amount of adoption on their platform will substantially increase, given that we have WordPress applications, we have Magento, we have several other open source solutions that people implement everywhere, and benefiting from the Google architecture, it should be a great milestone for Google.
Yes, it's interesting that you said it's a great milestone for Google, not a great milestone for PHP. I quite agree that this was a more important announcement for Google than for PHP itself.
Totally agree.
Because PHP developers are not exactly in a sort of competition. PHP is just a tool. It's a language. As I tried to express in this article, language are tools, not religions. You may have a favorite language, but that does not mean that you need to start campaigning against other languages, as we've seen lots of people that prefer other languages, Python, Ruby, Java, C#, whatever. And because PHP is quite dominant, at least on the web, they feel they are in the shadow of PHP, and their favorite languages never get the attention that they would like. And anyway, this revelation was interesting. Many people were very happy with this revelation from the repercussion that I noticed to this article. And it is interesting also to notice that Google was quite discreet announcing this support of PHP in App Engine. They had a session on Google I/O. They just call it a new language. They did not mention it was PHP either. They did not want to reveal in anticipation to whoever is going to the event.
Yeah.
Or they were sort of a shame. No, we have to support PHP, the language that the cool guys do not like. They are always complaining about PHP.
Again, people forget the whole objective here, which is to reach your intentions of achieving what you want.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to have a decent e-commerce platform and they want it right away, why don't they use Magento, which is already done, and they just have to customize?
Right.
And their business is right up running, and they don't have to care about anything else other than customizing the store. So in the sense of knowing what you want and knowing how to get what you want is the main situation here.
Yeah.
And it seems that developers are still willing to implement their knowledge, their development knowledge, and they want to be purist about something, but they forget the main objective, which is to establish a working business which pays their bills and pays their salaries.
Yeah.
And that's the main goal. Other things comes after, which is design patterns. It's something nice to have, but it's not what will make your business work.
Right.
In the end, doesn't matter how your application is looking at it looks, if it is profitable and it achieves their goal, which is make customers happy and make more customers available, then you're succeeding. And of course, there will be time enough for beautifying your code or either even changing your infrastructure, such as Twitter did. Twitter, I guess, began with Ruby, and they eventually changed to Java because Ruby couldn't scale as their needs.
Yes, that's a good example of trying to be more mature. And I think from the point that they started getting more investors influencing the destiny of the company, they had to follow the money,
right,
rather than follow their personal preferences. And I think it was good that you brought that example. Another example that I think it's totally odd, to not say stupid, I don't know if you are familiar with a cloud hosting platform named Heroku.
Yes, I do.
Well, they support PHP, but they hide it. And what? why are you hiding your support to your largest market? Are you dumb? Nothing personal. I don't even know the people that work on that company. But they added support to PHP because they wanted to develop, offer it to host Facebook applications.
Right.
Well, I don't know if Facebook applications have to be written in PHP, but okay, PHP is the most popular platform, and Facebook offers SDK native to develop applications using PHP.
Right.
But they just support PHP and do not mention PHP at all. And why are you hiding from the market? Don't you want to make money?
Yeah.
What what kind of institution do you have there? Isn't it a business company, like in making money company?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I know about the reputation that PHP gets when compared to other languages. I don't know why. I just guess that this is a time frame situation. Since PHP came back in the past, and it's a very old in the sense of timeline to be known as a language, as a web development platform, and it gets that drama of being a node. Hi, I just see you on mute.
No,
here.
Sorry, I saw a lost video, but I could listen to you.
Technical issues. Okay, no problem. Yes, the only thing is that I guess just because PHP is older than those other languages, it has this kind of bad karma that people tries to figure it out. And PHP has been proven to be such as useful as Ruby on Rails because it has Cake PHP, which does exactly the same as Rails does.
Yeah.
And people just want to learn something new. And they believe that they already know PHP enough, so they want to move along. It's nice to know other languages when you're working as a developer, but the best thing is to be knowledgeable on what pays your bills or what will
right.
benefit your business and right. in the whole sense. And this is something that I have on this topic, on this specific post of yourself,
yeah,
which you mentioned Google adopting PHP, that proves that Google was wrong and it became to be right.
Yeah, well...
they were losing market share for somebody else. And they
Or at least they were not earning any market share with whatever were the languages they...
Yeah, but I would
much
say...
Much smaller than it could be.
I would say that it's not the case that they were losing market, that they were not having enough adoption adopters in Python or Java, which were the other languages that they had support.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they were losing market share on their infrastructure ability without.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if App Engine has a great market share because.
Yeah, that's kind of obscure and kind of out of topic on my
yeah.
explanation here. But the thing is, I'm sure that Google lost a lot of potential customer adoption because they weren't able to support PHP.
Right.
And now that's gone, and that's a huge milestone for Google
exactly.
and also for PHP.
Yeah. Well. I don't know what happens inside of Google, but I think the board of directors of Google look at their products and said this product is either makes serious money or is out, because Google has been cutting out a lot of products that were not making money and they are not strategic for anything.
Yeah.
And I think it was time for App Engine to make serious money. And another detail that I mentioned in the article is that one of the lead developers of the App Engine project in Google was Guido van Rossum, which is the creator of Python.
Right.
So I think it's natural for him to prefer to give priority to Python.
Right.
And I would not be surprised if he was the core person to object to support PHP in App Engine. It's
yeah.
natural because Python is his baby, and he wants his baby to prevail. But
yeah, but it's somewhat insane to have the decision of one single person or whoever the amount of person was kind of coveting with him
yeah.
on that decision in the sense of trying to improve the amount of knowledge in Python for everybody. And avoiding the adoption of PHP just because
yeah.
they could say no.
Right. Well, I'm sure that Python increased its visibility since Google announced that they use Python to develop whatever they. I don't know what they use Python for in Google, but
yeah.
they announced it. And trying to avoid a market just because it's not the preferred language of one developer that happens to be the manager of the product.
Yeah,
it's. I think you use the right language, the right word. Insane.
It's like if they would hire the creator of .NET, which used to be the creator of Delphi, and they would say, now you can't go .NET here. You're just using Java, and they say, why I'm here then?
Exactly, and I think this whole story of Google deciding to support PHP. Probably this. I don't know. I have no first-hand knowledge. It's just a supposition that for some reason Guido Verhofstadt left Google in December. He went to Dropbox. Okay, Dropbox is a fine company, but why Google only supports PHP right after he left? Probably one thing is tied to the other.
Yeah, maybe he had a contract agreement that was decided before the implementation of App Engine. That could be, but it's only conspiration, and we would be...
No, it's not conspiration, it's just suppositions. There's
But it's kind of conjecturing, right? It's right. Not, we don't have the proof.
No,
but
it's totally, we're just guessing.
Yeah, it's totally possible that when they hired Guido, they said, you will implement something. He said, okay, I will do it in Python. Then I am okay, but I won't do it in any other language. And then he eventually had to oblige of another language, and then he said, okay, then Java, but not PHP.
No, PHP. Who knows? It's me. It's ugly.
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, that's a plausible theory. We don't know if it's true. It's something that happened.
Something like it.
Inside Google, it's not a public thing. It's just a supposition.
And, yeah. I'm sure it was something. We just don't know what was it.
Exactly. And, we don't know.
Imagine this. If they would hire you to build inside Google a component or a repository where people would share their code, and they say, Manuel, you have a decent sharing platform, but you will have to do it in C++. Would you do it? I guess you
just manage the project rather than write the code.
Because you are a sensible person and you know what is the definition of business.
Right.
But if you would be like in your teen age or within your 20s or something, you would say no. The first repository would have to be PHP.
Right.
Because you have an emotional involvement with your project. And that's the key.
I'm also not the creator of PHP, which quite a good difference between me and Guido von Rossum.
Yeah, but you know, but since I already gave an example, and you have a PHP classes repository, which are PHP components, and Google wants to build their own code repository, even though it was an internal solution for their own developers, not something meant to be public, you would say, okay, but I would only do it if it would be in PHP. And that could be your emotional involvement with PHP.
Right. But I think it would make more sense to ask Rasmus, develop this project here, but not in PHP. Are you kidding me?
Maybe if it was C, then he would accept it, but who knows?
Yeah, anyway, this is an interesting episode, and it had a lot of repercussion because, I think the pitch because the site had a record audience in that day when I published that, because people were very happy. I mean, PHP developers were very happy with this announcement. More the fact that Google announced that PHP is implementing 75% of the sites than the actual support of App Engine, because the App Engine itself It is still a limited platform, like many other cloud hosting platforms. They are not exactly the same as implementing PHP on a regular hosting platform. And it is interesting to notice that. And actually, I have even tried to enumerate some.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to make a small adjourn here, which is to clarify the question that you had just before about the Java precision calculation. And I have found a snippet while we were talking about another subject, and I just wanted to screen share this just before we move away from this topic. Let me see here. Yeah, I have Sublime Text here. Can you hear me? For some reason, oh, now it's okay. So that is how you would, let's put it this way, multiply a decimal value, which here is something like quantity and price.
Oh, that's ugly.
But it does the job, but it's the syntax is not as
of course
as small. But you see, it's all objects. And if you would have to make calculations here, you would probably convert it to primitives, which is int, double, float, yeah, etc.
Yeah. If you have a pain in one finger and you want to stop the pain in that finger, you can cut off your arm, and it will stop the pain in the finger. You lose your arm, but it's okay. It will stop the. Well, anyway, back to the topic that I was commenting before,
right,
regarding the actual features of. Okay, I was trying to find the actual window for screen sharing again. Google made some changes to the Hangouts platform. Now we have to wonder a lot, where is everything?
Oh yeah, it's just like Facebook. They released a new UI. Just
They are pivoting.
Yeah. For some reason, they want to have more UI.
Yeah, they have watched one of those courses on lean programming on lean startup development. Oh no, you are pivoting.
No, they are iterating.
Iterating. No, yeah. Sometimes it's pivoting because it's totally different and you get totally lost in how to find everything. Anyway, back to the topic here. I have mentioned some advantages of using PHP in this app engine as solution for hosting. There are some advantages here that some are very interesting, like having virtually infinite scalability. You can just drop your application there, and if you have a demand for more servers, it automatically will scale them. Well, at least that's the way I perceive it to work.
Is there any possibility for PHP classes to be hosted in that particular infrastructure?
Well, that will get me to the limitations. Let me get there. So you can realize, you can have the answer to that question.
Yeah.
There are other interesting features, like they have provided, I think, an emulation for Memcache servers. So you can have fruition session data of PHP be stored in Memcache, the server, and it gets stored in there. I don't know what is the exact name they give it in the App Engine, which is would be
big data.
No value.
Key value pair.
Key value pair storage, and they probably have a different name, I forgot for that. And with that, you could have your sessions distributed. This is very important because if your application is being hosted in a platform that is clustered, every different request may be served by a different server. So you could not use local files as to store session data as you use regularly in a single hosted environment.
And you can't even pass the PHP session ID on the URL because it's a huge issue.
Yeah, well, I don't think that will make a difference. I'm not sure what you mean.
No, I mean, you have to propagate the session throughout the whole cluster.
Oh, but, I mean, the URL. Well,
yeah,
I don't think...
if you use the query string.
No, I don't think so, because session IDs are passed with cookies. As long as the server is has the same URL, even if it is a cluster,
right,
the same domain, the cookies are sent to the different servers, whatever they are.
Right, but on the file system of those servers, it would have to be replicated somehow, right?
Right, that's something that you cannot do anymore in this app engine environment, which is to access local files. You have
right.
to store them in their
somewhere else.
Their cloud storage service,
right?
Whatever is the name. They also support test queues, which you probably would be able to implement with some other queue manager service, but they have their own in App Engine. And now to the disadvantage, as I mentioned, there is no access to the local file system.
Right, because there isn't a file system, probably.
Yes, it would be a security problem if you could modify things like you do sometimes with scripts.
Right.
So, for instance, if you have one of those template engines like Smarty that takes your template and compiles it and generates PHP, you cannot execute that PHP directly.
Right.
Because there are no local files. You could mm-hmm. not do a require this local file I just generated. And so you have certain limitations. You could use their cloud storage to store files.
Oh, and I've seen some examples of libraries in Java for Google App Engine that wraps a file system inside of the cloud storage of Google.
But that's what Google does for PHP.
Right.
They have a new stream handler.
Oh, I see.
If you want to access remote files in HTTP servers, you put http://, the domain, and so on for the URL of the actual file you want to retrieve. And for their cloud services, they have added a built-in stream handler that you can access files.
Instead of like file
yeah.
column...
So right.
Three slashes, it's something
exactly.
like Google Cloud,
yeah.
column three slashes.
Yes, they have a specific stream handler. It has a name, I forgot what is the exact name, but you just check the documentation. Anyway, this is interesting because you can use all the functions that you have in PHP to access files, fopen, fget contents, fstore.
Oh, that's nice.
The only thing you cannot do is to include a PHP script. So you cannot execute a file that you have just stored in the. You can do a require for a file that is in your project, but you have previously uploaded it, and the system knows where is the file.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't matter. It is in their cloud. It's abstracted. You don't have to be bothered with the actual path.
But I see a lot of great ideas coming through for PHP classes contributors here.
Yeah.
Maybe an abstraction class for local file system handling with just a small configuration, you would be able to change your Smarty template engine.
Right. Well, the solution that I propose here is to, instead of using the require command, you just do file get contents and then use eval.
Oh, I see.
To execute the actual code. So it will work, but you have to do that change. And another thing that I mentioned is that, for instance, applications that self-update, like WordPress, when you have an upgrade, you can download the upgrade and
right.
install it. You cannot do it with a traditional process of downloading the file and just executing the...
Yeah, and one of the things I've seen in most cloud solutions is the lack of ability to store uploaded files or in this case of the WordPress upgrade process, it's the file download, where to store it, because the normally they have a file system, but it's just on
it's in their cloud.
It's a virtual thing. If the machine goes down, you lose the file system and everything saved on it. So,
well, this is all tied to their cloud system, so your temporary downloaded files will be available from there.
Oh,
and this is interesting because it, since that cloud system is cloud storage system is distributed, it doesn't matter if you are it is being running on one specific server or another. So that's the way to go with the scalability. So that would not be a problem. What can be a problem is other things like this that I mentioned here, like you can no longer access remote resources via sockets or curl. You have to use file get contents and other file functions to access remote resource those resources, because I think they want to control what you are accessing.
Oh, I see.
To the outside, and they did not provide alternatives to the curl.
Both Google and NSA, right?
that would lead to another off-topic discussion.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make that joke. I had to.
I know. You've been dying to plug that all the whole story of the U.S. government tapping on the communications.
Yeah.
But that will be a totally unrelated topic with PHP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there are some limitations, and some of them, there were some comments about workarounds, things that you do different, but you can still do them. So to your question whether you'd be able to run PHP classes on App Engine, I think it would be possible with lots of changes.
Oh, I see.
Nothing serious, but would be a good amount of work to.
And it does in this issue, the sense of business, you have more important things to do just to stop your current efforts on improving PHP classes than migrating it. And it, for the business, in the case of the business sense, it matters to you to improve PHP classes other than changing it to a nice architecture, let's put it this way. And that comes back to that whole dilemma of having the best language, and you don't get the sense of business development.
Right. And talking about that, there are other cloud hosting platforms that support PHP better with less limitations. So Google, all these 5 years that Google been delaying to support PHP, it was time that was lost. It could support for PHP could be even better, but okay, they are a wealthy company now. They just hire more developers to run faster after that lost market.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
let's look on this for the future.
Yeah,
see how it goes.
Yes, I'm sure we'll get back to this later. The rest of the article is about what you have talked before. About this, whoever won the platform war, rather than PHP, it was not just PHP. It was also MySQL, which App Engine supports it as a wrapper. So use the same functions MySQL, but it's not really MySQL, and I'm sure the underlying platform there, although they did not disclose it, it's some flavor of Linux.
Oh yeah,
I'm probably a custom one, Google Linux.
Oh yeah,
and well, basically about this topic, it is very interesting. We could even say much more things, but we need to move on. And I just wanted to congratulate the PHP community as a whole, because intentionally or not, the success of PHP is a result of lots of people collaborating in many forms. For instance, PHP Class Society is a result of a collaboration of many, many developers. Just to talk about those that submit classes, it's now over 3,500 contributors. And then there are many other people that contribute to the site indirectly. And they are not even a part of those that also contribute classes. The site is now reaching 1,200,000 registered users. Certainly not all of those are active, but those are all people that participate in this huge community. Other than that, one key software that was very determinant to the success of PHP, I'm sure that it was WordPress, as I mentioned in the article. Although I don't use it in my projects, not because I don't like it, but because I developed totally my own software. I reckon that WordPress is very successful. Hernani, I don't know if you have used WordPress in your projects.
Yeah, I've helped several friends to implement WordPress, and it's a no-brainer in the sense of having something working, and it brings the business to life in a quick time frame. And I guess that if you would have to implement, if you would be beginning PHP classes today, you'd probably consider to use WordPress for some reason.
Lots of people start sites from blogs. That's a good reason to start with WordPress. Although PHP Classes is not exactly a blog, it has a blog. It is built on its own platform.
Right.
But probably you are right. If we're starting the site now, it would be also built on the top. So kudos to Matt Mullenweg for his brilliant project. I know Matt. I met Matt personally on an event. He came here in Brazil a few years ago. He's a very nice person, very humble, and he has a very good sense of humor. He's a very pleasant person to talk, and I'm sure a lot of his way of being is in the whole WordPress project, the whole concept of being able to improve the platform with contributions done by others, the famous WordPress plugins that constitute a very large ecosystem. And so kudos to him and the whole WordPress community for probably without intention to contribute to the huge success that is PHP as a language. Well, with that, now it's time to move on to another.
Oh, yes. And I just wanted to make an observation here. I'm sure that Matt would never realize the amount of adoptions that WordPress has, but I'm sure he knew what he was doing and the potential it had. So kudos to him to become the success that he had with it, but also to the efforts that he probably put into it to make it an extensible platform. Yeah. Even though purists would say that the code of WordPress it's ugly, and it's in PHP and blah blah blah, yada yada yada.
But it's even funny that some, even inside the PHP community, some of those that complain about, oh, your coding style is ugly, this and that. But in the end, they have their own blogs on top of WordPress.
Yeah.
What we're going to say about that? Nothing. Just silly complaints.
Just play the sad trombone.
Why bother? Well, anyway, moving on to the next topic, because we need to rush here. This angle.
Very interesting
topics that we have decided, but we need to move on. There is an article here that I wanted to talk about that I also published this month. Let me screen share it here. Hopefully it works. Okay, let's increase the font. Basically, it's an article that I decided to write, also in part because of this previous article on the App Engine, and I mentioned something about tracking the PHP error logs, because no matter how much you try to test your code, you will always ship code that is buggy, and you have to determine where your bugs are and fix them as soon as possible. So this article is actually a part of the blog that is associated to a package that I developed some years ago named Log Watcher, and it is meant to monitor log files in general, not specifically PHP log, error log files, but you can configure PHP to log all errors that happen at runtime to a file, and you can use this class, for instance, starting a script from the cron as a cron job, and it can take a look at any new log lines that are headed to the error log and send them by email to your address, so you can realize that there are some bugs that are causing some errors, some warnings that you should fix as soon as possible. And throughout this article, I give a sort of checklist, things that you should do to prevent or at least minimize the amount of bugs that you ship in production. And if you have bugs, try to fix them as soon as possible using this class, as I suggest here, which is basically all these are things that I call defensive programming practices. Or what you can do to defend yourself or your own mistakes that may cause bugs. And in this article, I have give a lot of information. The more experienced developers certainly are familiar with these practices, at least most of them. And I am sure that many less experienced developers were not aware of these, and I hope they have learned and they have started putting these practices in use to make their projects more robust, better, more bug-free, and overall improve the quality of their projects. Hernani, I don't know if you have read this article in full. Did you follow any or at least a good part of these practices?
Yes, I've read the article. I haven't had the opportunity to implement this specific component into the applications that I've been using, because most of them are into development stage, but it's really a powerful solution. Even though if you have restrictions under the deployment environment that you have your application set into, shared environments normally have PHP limitations or safe mode restrictions.
Yeah, sometimes you cannot even have access to error log files, so are having errors and you don't know about them because the hosting company does not feel it is important for you to have access to error logs.
And until they decide to be assistive to you, it's like insane and you're taking forever to be achieving your goals, and I'm sure that this saved a lot of effort for other developers around the world.
Yeah. Well, I can only speak for myself that I lost count of how many times it's actually a very simple class, just a few tens of lines. It just takes a look at the error log file, and it keeps track of the last line that he read and starts reading the file from there to see if there are any new lines. And what it does is very simple, but the effect, the benefit of using it, it has been amazing, because I was able to track bugs that if I left them open for a long while, they could cause me enormous damage that would be very hard to undo.
Yeah.
And
since we are already knowledgeable on the lean situation, there's always room for iteration, and the best way to iterate is to see your error logs. That's the basic of software development.
Not just iterate, but iterate as fast as possible.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So the sooner you have the information that something went wrong with your application, And going to the roots of the error sometimes is the best way to identify what is causing it.
Yeah.
Because there are such errors where you can't really tell until you go to the error log and be aware of what is going on.
Right. And this is has been very useful, and I hope other developers can also take a look. And well, if they do not, they do not have to specifically use Disqus, but at least use whatever are the means that you have at your disposition to monitor your errors, and keep in mind that no matter how much, even if you use the so-called test-driven development, that you start from tests and all your code is tested from the beginning, and you have 100% coverage of your code, that will not prevent all bugs to creep in your system in production. So there is not a developer that is too perfect to write 100% perfect code that will make it 100% bug-free. So yeah, you can always benefit from these practices.
Maybe Linux wouldn't need this, but...
yeah. Know. No, Linux certainly does not need this because it doesn't use PHP, I think.
You know, I mean, somebody like Linux wouldn't require such efforts because he wouldn't maybe do kernel maps and be aware of the situation.
Yeah, use something else.
Yeah, but I've heard back in the past, just a curious history here, that the creator of the LaTeX scripting language, which generates decent Ghost script files, have never produced a bug before, and just out of curiosity.
You're right. And you believe that, right?
No, it's just a case of trying to be as perfect as he was.
Well,
I guess it's something that you have to pretty much know what you're doing just before writing the line, because then it's typewriting.
Right. I think, if God exists, I think God also writes code with bugs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, on that note, I would like, we need to move on because we are practically reaching the end of the Hangout. And as always, we have a couple of regular sections on this Hangout, which relate to the Innovation Award initiatives that go on every month
on
both the JS Classes site and the PHP Classes site. And we always try to mention at least some of the packages that we found more interesting. We don't have time to mention all of them. Starting from the winners of March of the JS Classes JavaScript Innovation Award. They were voted in April, and the results come out in May. So now in June, we are going to comment about a couple of them. Which classes do you think are more worth mentioning, Hernani?
Oh, yes. Beginning from JS Classes, which we always do, to show that we have a sister website or a brother website, which I'm not sure the gender of it, but... it's a very nice component platform for JavaScript components, and I've seen lots of innovation coming through it. So if you're also willing to contribute on the JS Classes site, go ahead. We have the Innovation Award going for already, I guess, 3 months in a row.
Yeah,
so it's nice to see that the same applicability from PHP classes, which have been proven successful a long time ago, it's now implemented on the JS Classes site.
Right.
And I maybe you were wondering why I had the blank page here, but it's just a switch from the screen sharing I had.
You are.
I don't want to mention any blank components. So my vote goes to I guess Bob, which is a sort of a general name here. But he's from Bulgaria, so maybe he has a different accent in Bulgarian, which I'm unable to reproduce. But congrats to him. He had provided an object which can convert speed between kilometers and miles per hour in knots.
Yeah, it's a very simple object, but
Yeah, it's worth mentioning, given that we at both PHP classes and JS classes accept innovation. It doesn't matter the way you implemented the code, but the idea. And sometimes people just want a simple solution, and they don't have time to implement themselves.
Yeah.
So why not contribute and be quick enough to have your business going on? Imagine you're building a navigation website, and you just want to calculate easily the conversion rates between those unit measures. So there goes my vote for him. So kudos to Bob from Bulgaria.
So yeah, other than that, which other class do you think would be more worth mentioning from this?
Another one is from Raul Molnar from Romania. And I guess that he has some similarities with our native language, Portuguese, as far as I understood.
Yeah. Romanian is a language that is also derived from Latin.
Right.
Like Portuguese and Spanish and Italian and French.
But I guess that from the Latin languages, Romanian and Portuguese are really, really similar in particularities.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the reason of my vote. The reason of my vote is just to see that people are using, that's yet another jQuery plugin. But again, this proves to be useful. And if you need a component that provides, hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Something went mute and I was just wondering what was going on. Yeah, but so if you're looking for a jQuery plugin which does convert an image to grayscale, for some reason you want to show something in grayscale, display an effect, I guess you can go ahead and find it right here, and kudos to him, to Raul Molnar from Romania.
Okay, and well, on my part, I also love to comment on a couple of classes, starting from, this one, Fallout 3 Terminal Hack, is yet another great contribution from Artur Sosin of Latvia. This one is quite creative, and actually was not familiar with Fallout 3, which is a game that you have to go on certain rooms. I'm not totally familiar with the environment, but from what I understood, you can hack into terminals that appear in the game, and you need to break in by guessing the passwords, and you try some password and it tells you which letters may be right or not. What he did is to develop a JavaScript component that you keep feeding it the letters that you enter and which ones were correct, and it tries to guess the completely correct password in just three attempts, because the game was developed not to be difficult, but you figure somehow to break in those terminals and get in some information, from what I could realize. So it is very unusual component. Kudos to Artis once again with yet another great component. So far he has sent 45 packages, which is a lot. I hope he continues to send even more great components. Now, other than that, I also want to mention another component, this time by Javier Camelis from Argentina. He has developed a sort of unusual component that lets you store and retrieve multiple values in JavaScript arrays with a single command. So if you want to assign multiple values in an array, you can, with a single line, you can just assign those values, and arrays with key names. So you can assign them all at once. I think in PHP you can do that, but only for initialization. You can initialize an array with multiple values, but you cannot change specific values of arrays more than one value at once, and it is a different component, and kudos to Javier for his contribution. Now we move on to the final section, which this time we comment to the Innovation Award winners.
Right, from PHP classes.
Yeah, so from all, well, there were 6 nominees in March. From all of the, we don't have time, unfortunately, to comment all of them. Let's pick a couple of them, with each of us, and
right,
and comment a bit about them.
Yes, I've picked 2 components. I will go quickly on this because it's an API implementation, and that just proves to be the future. Okay, it's using a SOAP request to the DHL API web servers to submit documentation of shipments that requires customs clearance. So again, if you're implementing something and you need a wrapper of the API in PHP, there you go. You can find it here.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the benefit of having an API after all, and having a public API.
In this case, it's not any API. It's a new API that DHL already had a API for that, but it's for their paperless electronic documentation submission system.
Yeah, the point is, if somebody has an API, it's possible that somebody can write an API implementation, and then there you go. You see the API implementation here.
Right.
And the future, I guess, that for web development is for every business owner to have their own public API. And having this already here just proves to be useful, even though you're not using anything to your PHP site. But you're willing to understand the API. Normally, the practical use of the API already gives you the benefit of learning it by yourself. And sometimes the API implementation is even more richer than the documentation itself, because the developer have already had the effort to go and dig into the documentation and do whatever he has to do. And the owner is Mubashir Ali from Pakistan, so kudos to him.
Right.
And the other one is a component which blinked my eyes when I've seen, and it's a very nice idea to be able to implement this. And Google Cloud Messaging is a sort of a public subscription service that a web application can benefit from, and your mobile application can benefit from. Sorry, I've said web application, but I meant mobile application. So basically, it does send HTTP requests to the Google Cloud Messaging Web Services API, and then to get back the information from Google, Google will send message to that implementation, and then it will basically be displayed within your mobile application. And seeing this implementation done in PHP is such a good effort.
Yeah, because it was. I think Google provided an implementation in Java, right?
Yes.
Not in PHP.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Google doesn't like PHP.
Oh, yeah. Great.
No, just kidding. No, they like. They are a bit, sort of hid it, but okay.
So Christian Bart came already here from Netherlands and already had the efforts to implement this port for us. And it's nice to see. And that goes... I would say that this is hard to compare to other contributions. I would vote for the year contribution, but I don't want to be ahead.
No year.
But
in terms of classes, just in terms of authors.
Yeah, but if there would be a year component, I would probably vote for this.
Right.
And that goes just a challenge for other contributors for the future to try to succeed this one, because this is a very creative solution, and I really like it.
Let's create a special prize, the Ernani Award of the Year.
Okay.
And,
there you go.
Talking about this one, from what I understood, the cloud messaging services, it pushes messages to deliver to devices that are using mobile applications, right? And since when you want to send messages, the mobile device may not be online, you will not be able to receive it directly. So from what I understood, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, this cloud messaging server just drops messages in a queue, and the application, the mobile application, pulls it whenever it is online, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, and this is just for Android applications, right?
Yes, it's delivered for Android.
Yeah, well...
Maybe it could be used in an iOS application if you probably want to unify it.
Yeah.
But then you would probably have to implement a GCM implementation for iOS, or probably there is already a component somewhere else.
Because it's interesting, because this platform is free, right?
Yeah.
To use it for applications.
Yeah.
Do you think it will be free forever, or just maybe Google just giving it away for now?
No, I would say it would be free forever, because...
Or maybe if you have a large volume of messages, you probably need to start paying.
Yeah, I would say that goes against the probably the power of Android
in order to provide
rich notifications.
Because but all these wouldn't. Services cost money to Google to provide.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not even sure if it's not entirely free, because I haven't had the opportunity to implement this online.
That was just a curious detail, not.
But I'd say that if something gets paid just to deliver notifications, then it would go against the idea of providing a decent mobile framework.
But you don't know that maybe they need to start making money from it, because.
I'd say Android has other potential.
Yes, they have other source of revenue.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on, I also like to mention a couple of classes. I'll start here by one class. This is curious because it is a component for use with the Zen framework. So since I do not use the Zen framework, nothing against Zen framework, is, as I mentioned, I develop all my software packages, so I'll not need a separate framework. But for those that use Zen framework, this is maybe interesting. This is a package by Yasir Siddiqui from Pakistan. He has already submitted several innovative packages, and he continues to submit more. I know in the following months there are a few other that he developed, so it's great that he submits innovative packages. But the reason why this one was nominated is because it tries to make the creation of forms in Zen framework much less complicated than it is. And this is interesting because while frameworks aim to simplify the application development, I looked at the code that this package generates, and it's really complicated. I had no idea that building forms with Zen framework could be that complicated. It seems they are trying to apply too many design packages patterns than they need, and it seems this package to generate code to simplify the development of forms, it was really needed, because things could be really complicated. It's a bit ironic that a framework that was aimed to simplify ends up complicating. But
when you add the model view controller, you may have needs to attach a controller to a view. And sometimes when you are delivering those data-aware components, you probably would require a more complex approach, and probably that's...
No, but this is meant to use with their MVC approach. This is not to just generate standalone forms.
No, right, but that's probably data-aware of some kind.
Right, but even in that sense, you have to include the definition of the actual fields.
Yeah.
This is mostly for that, to just define the fields of the form.
Wow.
And, well, I was a bit surprised because I have to analyze what the packages do. All the packages that are approved in PHP Classic Site, I have to review the actual code. Sometimes I do not actually run the code. I look at what it does, and This is just a side comment that I wanted to make, because sometimes framework developers are not adding in the right direction. The right direction is to simplify, not to make it more complex. Well, anyway, there are different versions of the Zen framework. I don't know if this is for Zen framework 1 or 2, and probably more recent versions are less complicated. If they are not less complicated, well, here is a tip for the Zen framework developers to rethink their approaches and make things less complicated. So generator components like this will not be necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, the other component that I would like to mention is quite a simple one in concept, but it's unusual. It's a package from Alessandro Vernaccia that he developed a package to generate DXF files, which is a format used by AutoCAD to define objects. This one, for now, it's quite simple. It just lets you add a few types of 2D shapes to a drawing, and then it generates the DXF file and exports it for download, or just returns it as a string. So kudos to Alessandro for his package. He's already submitted 3 innovative packages. I hope he continues to contribute more. And with this, we practically ended this podcast. We have discussed it a lot, probably during a longer time than usual, about many interesting PHP topics. And with this, on my part, that is all for now.
Yes, guys. Thanks a lot. It was a great episode. And looking forward to see the adoption of App Engine architecture, as well as sending creative components for both JS classes and PHP classes.
Yeah.
And have a great month.
Bye.
Bye-bye.